How many know that's true? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. If our God is for us, who can stand against us? How many know that's what the Bible says? Are you enjoying the fact that God is in charge this morning? How many did that song offend your greater sensibilities? It's great. You can do the old songs. We can do the new songs. As long as there's truth in Jesus being proclaimed, we can celebrate and lift up our voice and worship. Our God is greater. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Turn to each other and say, God is greater than your need. Again, God is greater than your need. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to Rome. Turn to Romans, would you please? Turn to Romans, if you would. And I'm going to be in chapter 1 this morning. Last week, the bridge closed. You've already heard about that. And our guest speaker, Dr. Chris Lodovic, a powerful man of God, who's been with us twice before, looked so forward to being back with us. A man from South Africa, used of the Lord to bring healing to that nation after apartheid and to bring other nations to Jesus. Was Reinhard Bonnke's right-hand person for several years, and he's taken a liking to our congregation, because we've all taken a liking to him, and loves being here. He and Pastor John Branson were just on the other side of the bridge at the light when the bridge closed right in front of them. They went over to the cemetery in Port Gamble and watched the bridge, just waiting for an opening. And Chris said to me later, we talked to him on Tuesday night then, he said, well, I preached my whole message to John Branson right there in the cemetery, and it went well. But everybody must have needed your message more, Kevin. That's why I couldn't come. So anyway, actually, you can be in prayer. He asked Sherry and I to travel to South Africa and be involved in ministry over there with him. And we're very much looking forward to that sometime in the next year. What an honor and a privilege. But we're going to return to Rome. Last week we spoke about Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. We're going to return to Rome and we're going to grasp some of the most important truths in all of Christianity. And that is not hyperbole. These are some of the most important truths to nail down in your foundation in your entire Christian walk as we take a look at the book of Romans. Romans, as a people, were known all the world over and remain known for their, what? Roads. The Roman roads. Many of them are still in existence. Many of them are still being used. And they all went out from Rome, and usually they went into their lands that they conquered so they could have quick transport to get to their soldiers and get to the outposts where they had set up Roman colonies and Roman government in the towns and in the countries they had overtaken. But those roads were used of the Lord, as God is wont to do. Man thinks he creates something significant, but God comes along with a higher purpose, and it was the Roman roads that gave an ease of travel way for missionaries and apostles and the believers to go and spread the gospel. Isn't that fantastic? The gospel came, Jesus came at such a time, there was a way for the gospel to go out. What a great God. Turn to each other and say, what a great God. Paul, the wise master builder, is going to build a road of truth in the book of Romans to impart God's truth to us. We're going to begin by talking about the roadbed. The roadbed. The roadbed to Romans. In Paul's day, let's just give you a little background here. The city of Rome was probably the number one city in all the known earth at that time. Probably the city of Rome in Paul's day had 1 to 4 million people, literally overflowing with people. Today, Rome has 2.65 million. So it was 1 to 4 million people in Paul's day. When Paul entered the city as a prisoner in 58 A.D., after appealing to Caesar, you recall, the Jews wanted to gather together and assassinate him. They had a secret plot. Paul appeals to Caesar, and they have to take a Roman citizen to Caesar to have his day in court if there's been that appeal. The city had been around for 800 years by the time Paul comes around. And so you see over here, you've got, you've got Kevin hitting the wrong button is what you have. So let's see, right there. So here is Jerusalem. And Paul, this is his, when he's captive, he's going to be taken to Rome. And he goes through all of this area where he has preached and birthed cities and birthed churches, really. Not cities, but churches. Ephesus and Thyatira. And he goes across. He see, you know, there's Crete and all of that. But he comes across and here's the boot. How many know what I mean when I say the boot? Wake each other up, say, there's the boot. There's the boot right there. And there's Italy. And so he's going to come over here to Rome. Now, this letter to the Romans was written while Paul was in Corinth. And so the letter went across over to that way. Now, in Paul's day, it was a magnificent city. There was the Colosseum and more than 400 temples to other gods had already been built. Rome was noted for public buildings and baths and aqueducts and arches, temples and roads. And the book of Romans, this book, Paul went there in 58 A.D., but this letter was written to the Romans in A.D. 57. In A.D. 57. So again, you have, here's Corinth, letter is written over here to Rome. And these are the cities that he visited and he planted church there. Paul was in Corinth. And he had met Priscilla and Aquila, fellow tent makers, and they had left Rome, fled Rome, when the Emperor Claudius had expelled all Jews from the city. So that's when Priscilla and Aquila made their way to Corinth, where Paul was, and they met up, and Paul had not actually been to Rome at this particular time. So Paul wasn't the one who started the church in Rome. Down over here, if you recall in Jerusalem, what happened on the day of Pentecost? How many know? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there had been multiplied thousands upon thousands in Jerusalem who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they then went back home. Remember, they were to be, the Jews came three times a year for their feasts up to Jerusalem. But there were people from all around the known earth. And they went back and took the gospel with them. Probably some of those people went back to Rome and birthed the church. This was a large church. They had many locations throughout the city in which they met. And by this time, by Paul's time, it was mostly a Gentile church. But the gospel had been carried. Paul had not yet been there, but Paul's a wise master builder, an apostle's heart, a father's heart, and he wants to plant among them solid truths that will keep them no matter what the turmoil. We've spoken enough times in this church about all the persecution. Remember the persecutions that took place. They had to have strong stability and rebar, spiritual rebar inside, to stand when tough times came. How many know that's still true? Yep. Turn to each other and say, how's your spiritual rebar doing today? Testings come. Turmoil comes. Times get tough. And the Lord wants us to be established and strong on a strong foundation with wisdom and with understanding. So Rome. The Christians there, what were they facing? What were they looking at? Rome was an incredible city of contrasts. Rome was built on seven hills. Maybe some of you used to live in towns like that. We have some hills here. We have a few hills. In Pullman, I lived in Pullman for 35, 40 years, and it was a series of five different hills. Rome was built on a city of seven hills. And on the hillsides overlooking the city were these absolutely beautiful homes and people living in the lap of luxury. Opulence. They lived high on the hog, if you will. But the vast majority of Rome was made up of slaves. So down below, in the city below, were myriads and myriads of people in these tenements where there were crowds and there was noise and there were smells and there was volume and there were shopping areas and little narrow streets that people were traversing, constantly a city of hubbub and activity. So you have luxury on the hillsides, you have the tenements where people are living basically in squalor down below, crowded. So what did Paul find when he comes to Rome? He finds different things. You remember the archway of Constantine, if you've been there to Rome or you've heard of some of these things. Of course, there's the way in the main city. And these are the ruins that are still there today. And in Paul's day, they were fully alive and vibrant with activity. You all know about the Colosseum. Colosseum, if you recall your history, was built by who? The Jews taken in captivity. And they built this Colosseum, which was used for games and all sorts of activities, and also where the Christians suffered at the hands of lions and other gladiators, the Colosseum at night. It's a beautiful facility to drive by and look. We didn't actually go see it when we were in Rome a couple of years ago, but you know, usually right across the street, there's power lines and kiosks and buses going back and forth, and this huge structure still standing. It's pretty amazing. Inside the Colosseum, it was divided up into areas where they would go in and do their games and their activities. But let's talk this morning about the reason for the road. Now Paul was there, and the citizens of Rome, again, just a little bit more information. The citizens of Rome received food and entertainment from the government for free. Wine was cheap, and it was abundant. Admission to Roman games was free. You see Paul all through his writings referring to sports metaphors. They had the Corinthian games, they had the Olympic games, all of these things. Thousands of people attended the games, which included, again, contests among gladiators, chariot races, theatrical performances. So you have a very alive city. You have some living in squander, many living in opulence. You have this whole hedonistic society that became, some think, in through the book of Revelation, a hidden name for Rome, or a hidden meaning for Rome was hidden in the metaphors of the book of Revelation. It was a town, a city meant to be judged and to come under the judgment of God. But they desperately needed the gospel. Come on, church. They desperately needed the gospel. I said they desperately needed the gospel. How many live in a community where the gospel is definitely needed? Desperately needed. Port Ludlow, Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, Port Gamble, it doesn't matter. Any area, Squim and Port Angeles, all this region needs Jesus. Now the book of Romans was written then to these kinds of people. Most of the city was slaves. Now I've said all that to give you some direction for where we're going. The poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge said Romans is the most profound book in existence. Has anybody, when you've read through the book of Romans, ever had trouble understanding? Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of thick, but it's solid. And you have to tear it apart piece by piece to get some of the nuggets. The most profound book in existence. Godet said Romans is the cathedral of the Christian faith. Martin Luther, it can never be read or pondered too much. And the more it's dealt with, the more precious it becomes, and the better it tastes, referring to the book of Romans. The four Gospels present the words and the works of the Lord Jesus. But Romans basically is known as the Gospel according to Paul. And it delves more into the significance of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. The theology taught in Romans is balanced by practical exhortation. When you get to the end of Romans, chapters 15 and 16, Paul is talking about practical, how you're living it day by day. I want you to get along. Chapter 16, he says hi to about 34 different people that he knows are there in the Church of Rome. But it's a fantastic book, and in between its pages, from beginning to end, Paul sees the believer's position as the basis for his practice. I want you to all look up, and I want you to read that out loud with me, please. Paul sees the believer's position as the basis for his practice. What you believe determines how you live. That's why the Bible says, hide the word of God in your heart. We plant it in our hearts and in our minds so the Spirit of God can pull out what we need when the time of turmoil and testing comes. Anybody in this room ever get a test? Come on, be honest. Ever get tested? Ever have temptation? Ever have turmoil in your life? Ever get full of the T's? Done with the T's. How about P's? Provision, peace, His power, all of those things. Rather have the P's than the T's, right? Okay, three of you. The rest of you, the believer's position, where you're planted, what do you understand about what God has done for you? That's why, you know, some people come into the charismatic circles 20, 30, 40 years ago, and in the 70s and the 80s, there was a real teaching mantle that was on. But some people all just wanted to float around and do their own thing. And those people who were given to that kind of persuasion usually didn't last. You know, all of you know people, well, I gave my life to Jesus. I tried that once. But when you let your foundations go down and you understand God hides His Word in your heart, you have the Word of God written in your heart and mind, the Word of God, the power of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord keeps you when the trouble comes, and your position, what you know, the devil can't throw confusion and deception at you to take you off the path when you know the truth and you can tell him, get out in Jesus' name.
Right,
and you can only do that when you have the authority of His presence and His Word. Amen?
Amen?
When you have His Word, the devil must flee. If you resist him, what does the Bible say? The devil must flee. So your position leads to what you practice. The reason for the road. Romans 1, verses 1 through 5. Romans 1, 1 through 5, and I'm leading up to a couple of verses this morning. If we don't get there, we'll come back next Sunday and finish it up. Romans 1, 1 through 5. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an what? An apostle. But what did he begin with? Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that in a moment. Separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Are you all awake? Let's tear it down just a little bit. Paul begins with who he is, you guys. This is really cool. He doesn't come and declare what some of the writers do. I'm the emperor, I declare unto you. What does he do? He says, Paul, a bondslave. That Greek word is the slave of slaves, the doulos. I'm not just a diakonos, a nice servant who has some recognition. A doulos is the bottom of the bottom. I'm the slave of slaves. I have come to build a bridge to fellow slaves because this town of 1 to 4 million is mostly made up of slaves. He says, I am a slave, one willingly surrendered to the Lord, but I'm a bond slave and I've come to build a road to you of truth. Powerful. A bondslave, a doulos. Called, separated. In the Greek it means I'm commissioned. I'm set apart for a purpose. What is that purpose? We go on in the scriptures in Romans 1 verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you, Paul says, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may also be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Watch that out of the New International Version. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. My longing every Sunday morning when I stand in this pulpit, and I know Pastor Sherry's heart as well, we want to impart the presence of God to you, something from the Word of God that when you go out, you've got something to hold on to so you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul says, I come to give to you an impartation of the Spirit of God so you stand strong no matter what happens. Listen, persecution. A year after this letter was written, Paul was arrested. And then 2 years later, Paul was arrested again. Persecution like fire blew through that place like a furious storm as the emperor turned against the Christians and a furious persecution broke out. The Word of God came just at the right time to help these people stand strong. How many know God quickens something to you just in time for the test? He puts it in and He brings it out. at just the right time. NIV. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I impart. He says, I want to impart something. I want to give over to you. I want to share something with you. I've got a gift to give. I've got Jesus to give. I may not be there in person, but I've got something to transmit to you. I've got to build a road to you of understanding, just like the Romans built their roads so the soldiers could go have warfare and victory. I'm building a road to you in the Spirit so that truth can come across to you and you can be strong in the power of the Lord. I want you to be established. I went a little far. Established. I want you to be set fast. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be, Greek means consoled and comforted. The truth I have to bring to you is vital. It's crucial to your walk in faith. Paul has this to impart. Romans 1 verse 14. Please read it with me. Look up and read it with me, would you please? I love that it's in your Bible right in front of you. But this morning I'd like you to read it with me. I am a debtor both to the Greeks to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Anybody ever felt like you're both those all the time? Okay, no matter what, this verse applies to me then. All right, now out of the New Living. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and in the rest of the world, through the educated to the uneducated alike. Paul is voluntarily surrendered to Jesus. He's a doulos of God, and he understands that what God has given him, he is called, but more than called, he is absolutely a debtor to the entire world to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're getting that this morning, but the whole point is, Paul has a debt. Just like he's got a personal loan out from God for each person sitting here. If I borrowed from 500 bucks from each of you, you all would probably get rid of me as your pastor. But if I did that, I would be under obligation to pay it back. I would be a debtor to each of you in this room. Paul understands God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus comes to him, knocks him off his donkey, saves him, radically redeems him, and then he says, now, Paul, no matter what the hardship is, you gotta go give me away to everybody you see. How'd you like to have been Paul's friend? After church is over, you go, can we just go eat? Can you please not evangelize the whole restaurant today? Can we just eat? Paul might look at you and go, well, sure. Gets to the restaurant. He's got 50 people in there. All of a sudden, the burden breaks out. Hey, everybody, come to Jesus. And Paul goes, I'm sorry, I can't restrain this. I got too much good news to give away, and he's done so much for me. I've got to give him to you. And you've got neighbors right up and down your block and next to you on your cul-de-sac. And you've got family members going the wrong way to hell. And you're burdened for them and you pray. And then you take your opportunity because you're a debtor. And you've got to give them Jesus. Say it with me. I have to give them Jesus. That's what he's saying here. I'm a debtor to everybody. The power of the road. The power of the road. Here's the main point of the entire book of Romans. This is fundamental, absolutely crucial, absolutely life-changing to you for the rest of your life. Boy, Kev, making promises. Remember the old Top Gun movie? Your body's making promises or writing checks your body can't keep or something like that. This is something that is the most important principle for you to get for the rest of your entire walk with Jesus Christ right on into eternity. And I exaggerate not. Here's the main point of the book coming up. Y'all awake now?
Yeah.
So in closing, we'll pick this up next week. Oh, God, you're listening. Get this, and your position, your power for your Christian life will be with you the rest of your days. The road gets planned. You work with the soils. You begin to work with the roadbed. Consider what you've seen with Bertha. Just a little activity to build a new road. They got to ship the dirt and rocks and everything right up here to our quarry because there's no room in Seattle.
Yeah.
But it's important, isn't it? Jesus said, this is the most important road that you begin with. And you get to Galatians, and it's the most important road they had to be reminded of. And you get to the book of Revelation, and the road is still in existence. And the apostles are teaching a principle for our walk forever. It goes like this. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Verse 17 is the companion. This is only half of this message. But watch it out of the New Living. I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also the Gentile. And out of the message, it's news I'm most proud to proclaim. This extraordinary message of God's powerful plan, say it with me, to rescue everyone. Well, there's another part to that. Who trusts Him, starting with the Jews and then right on to everyone else. Paul says, I'm not tiptoeing around the truth. Here I am. I'm a doulos. I'm a debtor. I got to give you the truth. I got to build this road to you. Here it is. I've got the gospel of God, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who changes my life, who changes your life, who changes everybody, if they'll just put their trust in Him. I've got the most important news there are. Here's the man who stood on Mars Hill in Athens, toe-to-toe with the greatest of the day. And he had Socrates, and you have liberty, and you have all the principles that people want to tout. You have anything that can be taught in Port Townsend, all around the world, and Paul standing up saying, and here is the truth that is above all truths. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's the one who lived, who died, who buried, who was born again, and by the power of His resurrection, every person can be saved if they'll put their trust in Him. There's the message that changes all of life and eternity. Everything comes down to this. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There is something about that name. Paul says, here's the road. The power is the dunamis. The dunamis, the Holy Spirit talks about the dunamis, the power, literally means the explosive power in the Greek. Explosive power of God, dynamic, dynamite. We get our word dynamite from the Greek word dunamis. This is dynamite. This will blow up every false teaching that will take you to hell. And this will establish the roadbed of truth in your life. Amen. It's the power of God for salvation, rescue, safety. The answer for everybody, no matter what the question is. You speak the truth in love, you're kind, you're gentle, you're straightforward and unapologetic and unashamed about the fact that, yes, you do have the truth. What, are you saying you got the truth? And all the people said? His name's Jesus. Not only does the gospel deserve equal footing in the marketplace of ideas, but the gospel in Jesus is the truth. But the Bible says it's for those who believe. I can tell you all day long, Royal, you've come into the chips, you're a multimillionaire, I got the money for you. And if Royal looked at me and went, sure, thanks, and never accessed the account, he can have the money all day long and it doesn't do him a bit of good. you never access the provision of what he's given, it doesn't do any good. This is for those who believe. How do you get this? Watch this. Romans 1, verse 17, the other half. For in it, the gospel of Jesus, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. And here, right here, right here. I want you to read it out loud with me. The just shall live. Come on, again. The just shall live by faith. Again. Another time. I want you to yell it out so loud they can hear you downtown Portland. Oh, it's a four-way stop. Let them hear you at the four-way stop. The just shall live by faith. There, right there. If you'll get this and grasp this in your heart of hearts, and you might look at me and say, I've been saved for 35, 40, 50 years. I know this. Then dust off the truth and revisit it. Because if you'll get this in your heart of hearts, this truth will hold you the rest of your days on earth. The just shall live by faith. Out of the New Living. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. How?
By faith.
As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now, the righteousness of God doesn't mean God had to go do something to become righteous. He is righteous. But what He does is when you come to Jesus through faith, He gives you and puts into you His righteousness. You go, you know, we talked about this last week. I'm a do-gooder. I do gooder better than you do gooder. Not really. You can do all the good works you want, and that's a great thing. Listen, you know the earth, I'm not going to just condemn good works. The earth is full of people who've done fantastic things. Man, when my first wife was dying, we owned a piece of the rock, Sacred Heart, up in Spokane. I thanked God every day we were there and not there for the Catholics who had the vision and the burden to start the medical missionary plans that they had. Man, good works that have changed the earth. It used to be that Christianity was the movement identified with the good works. Part of the reason nowadays, now this is a simple little thing I'm just going to slip in here. Part of the reason nowadays that people don't need the church is because a lot of people, thankfully, are doing good works. But good works won't get you saved. There are works that are done, but deny the power. A form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Listen, I know I'm talking basic theology or whatever you want to do, but if you'll get this. So thank God for those who do good works, but you can't do enough good works to earn your own salvation. That's what it's all about. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter what your background, whether a Greek or a barbarian, and sometimes you might be a barbarian. Actually, in the Greek, it was anybody else was a barbarian. To the Romans, anybody else was a barbarian. So no matter who you are, at one point or another, you're qualified to be a barbarian. But Jesus came for all of us. Okay? Turn to each other and say, you look like Barbie to me. Thank God Jesus came for you. Some of you are looking at me like, I'm not saying that. Okay, I'm not going to tell anybody here in this room you look like Barbie. A barbarian is what I meant. All right. Got to have a little fun. Not only does the gospel deserve equal footing, they're trying to shut it down because it really has the power to change lives. The resurrection was God's stamp of proof that it's true. The resurrection was God's stamp of proof that Jesus is real, His word is true, the gospel is true, and salvation is by faith in Him. Thank God. Powerful, powerful verses. This is for how you live. Now watch. I'm going to show you a few verses that deal with the whole thing about doing good. And some people are really sincere. You hear it on the news every day. If something happens to me, I'll be all right. I've been a pretty good person. You know, you heard this just last week in the midst of terrorism. If something happens, I'll be okay. I've tried to live a good life. Guys, that's not what it is. People all around need to be taught and reached with the truth of the gospel of good news. They don't have to. You know, you do good works because you're saved, but not to try to get saved. You understand the difference? Romans 1:17 out of the Message. God's way of putting people right shows up in acts of faith, confirming what the Scripture said all along. The person in right standing before God by trusting Him really lives. Watch this. Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Well, wait a minute. I can save myself. I can do enough good works. I'll be okay with God. And the Bible says, there's nothing you can do. Remember, later in Romans, we'll get to it in another week, but there's none good, no, not one. All our righteousness. Are you saying my good works don't account for anything? They account for good works. Thank you for doing them. But they don't account for salvation, out of the NIV. All of us have become like one who's unclean. All our righteous acts like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, like the wind. Our sins blow us away. Out of the Message, we're all sin infected, sin contaminated. Our best efforts are grease stained rags. We dry up like autumn leaves, sin dried rather, we're blown off by the wind. And then along comes Jesus, who on a cross stretches out his arms. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Then he says, it's finished. All that filth and sin and heartache and turmoil that you've ever done is now on him. And his grace is now on us. All it takes is receive Him by faith. Believe in Jesus. Quit believing more in your own sin and believe in His forgiveness. The just, the one who is justified with God, justified by God, justified through God, lives by faith. Paul. What drove him? This guy goes through shipwreck, beatings, stonings, rejection, persecution, threatenings. Listen, all of that. He left shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned. Can you see Paul just pushing one rock off and all of a sudden you see a hand come out from under the rubble and there goes more and this beaten up guy comes out and goes, let's go preach in the next town. Can you imagine? Can you imagine his companion saying, I'll be praying for you, Paul. See ya. Can you imagine? Why? Because he was a debtor to the Lord who loved him, to the Lord who forgave him, the Lord who had mercy on him. Everybody in this room, you're a debtor. The good news of Jesus, he's come along, he saved you, picked you up, forgave you, kissed you with his grace. Now he says, now serve me. So I sign up for this life where I don't get to live what I want to necessarily get myself. And I sign up and I say, and it goes like this. It goes, I surrender and I will be your doulos because I love you. And I do this as a response to your grace to me. Signed, Kevin. Oh, God. The just. Those who are justified. Forgiven, released, redeemed. The just live every day, every single day, by faith. And we forget it. We get all twisted up and turmoiled up in our own good works. And we forget it. And when we try to live by our good works, we diminish what Jesus did. And then Martin Luther comes along in the 15th century, and he's in a tower. He's been a Christian priest or a Catholic priest. And he is confused by this section of Scripture. And he reads it again and again and again. And the light begins to break into his understanding and his eyes begin to open. And his heart begins to beat. And he goes, the just shall live by faith. I'm redeemed by faith. I'm saved by grace. My sins are gone. By good news, by grace, by the mercy of God. I don't have to do this myself. And he's living in an hour and a day where you bought an indulgence in order to feel forgiveness. And he writes out 95 theses. And he pounds them to a Catholic church door. Never meant to create division, but meant to call into question practices not of the Lord. And the Protestant movement was birthed and born. Because he had an understanding that changed his life for the rest of his life, called the just shall live by faith. You see, all roads lead to Rome. Not to the Catholic Church, but to the truth. And Paul was thrown away by people who thought he had gone insane. They throw him in jail. There it is. Looks just like that on some city street, some building, called the Mamertine Prison. He spends the last days of his life not in a rented home, leading people to Jesus, but in a dark little cave, hewn out of the rock, where he begs Timothy to bring him the parchments and his cloak, and come to me before winter. And oh yeah, everybody's abandoned me. Why? Because he believed the just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. If you allow it, that truth will hold you the rest of your days on earth. Stand with me, would you please? We've got a great God who loves you so much, who cares so deeply. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do it. He loves you. If you have, and this truth has become diminished in your life by daily living, and you know you got to be perfect, and yeah, we all need to grow, but go back to the bedrock. Go back to the road, the Romans road, where we understand how our life truly has changed. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people right over here to pray for you. Most of all, know that God loves you so much that he died, was buried, and rose again for you and for me. Are you glad this morning?
Amen.
Musicians, will you come? Lord, we pray this morning for these precious people that as we go from this place, we'll go with joy and rejoicing, knowing that you are the God who's done it all for us. We don't deserve this. We just get to receive you by faith and by grace. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Lord, it's not our works. It's what you have done. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Go in the joy of the Lord, living as the just who live by faith. Be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless. Be released.